Good morning and welcome to the Automation Morning Show for what is today? Friday. Yes. 9:21 a.m. in the morning on April 12th, 2024. I hope your day's off to a great start. It's always exciting Fridays. If you have the weekend off, I have half the weekend off, so I'm excited about that. And looking forward to sharing the news with you this morning. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump into our first sponsor, and that is theautomationschool.com. We got some exciting stuff coming next week, so definitely check that out. And if you're looking for PLC, HMI, or SCADA training, and you like to support all the work we do here at Insights in Automation, please check out our courses. You can now actually buy them for somebody else. You can enroll yourself, or you can purchase a coupon, a voucher for somebody else. So that's perfect for purchasing agents because that's just what they need to do. They need to buy it for somebody else, probably in the electrical shop or engineering. From there, we go over to theautomationblog.com. And here you can see the last three shows from the week. And you can see all our other stuff that's going on here. We've been so busy. We haven't posted anything except for our shows. We get the podcast coming back next week. We get the morning show. And we've done a bunch of articles on Arduinos and different starter kits and whatnot. But we do plan on posting more articles in the future. We're looking at ways to turn our transcripts into articles because I know, especially me, in the morning when I'm sitting with the wife, we're drinking our coffee, we're surfing the web. I don't like to listen to a lot of videos when I first get up. I'd rather read. So in any case, we're looking at that as well. But that is theautomationblog.com. We get some exciting new how-tos, unboxings, and other things coming in the coming weeks as well that we're working on. So with that, let's get right into the news, and we'll start. I thought this was an interesting combination product here. This is something that a multi-carrier system that is a collaboration with Siemens and Festo. Okay, and some of this also comes from Rexroth as well. So if you're looking for a multi-carrier system, right, based on linear motors. Check this out. I just think it's interesting. It seems like most vendors have something like this. And I just thought it was interesting that this was a collaboration between two of the people we cover here on the show. From there, we go over to the Cinematics G220. It's available now in IP55, right? In the 200-volt three-phase to 400-volt three-phase. Now, I actually got to reach out to these guys to get them back on the podcast. I'm not familiar what wasn't available until this announcement. Maybe it was just the NEMA 1 style. I don't know. But in any case, for you guys who are following Siemens VFDs, this will probably be very interesting for you. From there, we go over to another news item from Siemens. They have a promotional Wi-Fi 6 package. So if you've been looking at getting some Wi-Fi 6 in your facility and you're not sure which vendor you want to go with, these starter pack, I'll just call it a starter pack, allows you to save up to 50% off of doing some individual purchases. Now, I was also on the phone with somebody recently who enrolled in one of my courses, and they called their local Siemens distributor to get one of those S7 starter kits, which they unfortunately, a lot of them are not available anymore. But they are doing custom starter kits for those. So if you're looking to get an S7 to learn on how to program them, check in with your local Siemens distributor to find out if they can make a custom starter kit for you as well. All right, from there, we go over to an announcement from Inductive Automation about Ignition 8.1.39. They've added a Micro 800 driver, which I think is very cool because they're so inexpensive. They've also added some quality of life improvements and tab indexing and perspective. Tab indexing is so very important to have. I remember when I used to go up to like an RSU or a View32 app, and I'd try to go through the fields and I would tab and they would just go randomly all over the place, right? That was pretty frustrating. And I know a lot of people, a lot of the youngsters today, they're not on keyboard and mouse, they're on touch screens. So they probably have no idea what I'm saying. But if you're filling in a form, let's say at your bank or you're filling in a registration form, when you hit tab, you want it to go in order. And it's great that they've added that to perspective as well. And they got all kinds of stuff going on there. And so if you're interested, check this out. I'm thinking about maybe using their free version, their maker version, to kind of do some signage around here, around the office. But in any case, from there we go over to CodeSys. Now I missed this because we were on hiatus, right, as we were moving in. But back on the 20th of March, CodeSys released their version 3.5 Service Pack 2. And so I know a lot of the vendors out there using CodeSys as that engine for the control systems. And what's in it? Well, a new ladder diagram editor. We covered that when it came out. Project Compare for object properties, improved license management, scripting for CodeSys Git, an improved installer, and some other things. String library package, offline help, flow control network, some other stuff too. You can, if you're using CodeSys, I recommend you check out this link. It will be up at automate.news. Yesterday, the issue with the updates was I forgot some stuff that I didn't send everything to Julius, so he wasn't able to jump on it right away. But I believe everything's up there now, and you can check that out. So from there, we go over to, I thought this was so interesting. I actually reached out to Mabel Systems this morning. They have brought back, after a couple months, they brought back, put our PLC to the test for free. So you can get one of their little, what I would call a micro, 16 in, 16 out, two analog in, two analog out, two high-speed counters, PID control, auto-tuning, RTC, serial, this thing that kind of has it all, or Ethernet communications. I would choose Ethernet. And you get this all for $295, includes software, and I believe somewhere it says it includes support too. So that's their best-selling brick unit or fixed-style unit. And then they also have the same price. They have the expandable PLC. This is 8 in, 8 out on board with two high-speed counters, two pulse train outs, the PID I mentioned, Ethernet communications. These look like some pretty good deals if you want to try out Mabel Systems. I've always known them for their great little HMIs, but I reached out to them. I said, look, I don't need a free PLC. Everybody likes free stuff, right? But I don't need a free PLC. What I'm more interested in is, why don't we tell our audience about this? So they accepted my invite, and we'll see how it goes next week. But I would be excited to share information about Mabel Systems PLC line with all of you folks. So in any case, from there, we'll go over to SMC. They had a couple more new products we didn't get to yesterday. You can see here, they got a manifold controller up to 16 axes can be connected to it. So very interesting product. I did reach out to Mark Arnold. I still have to send him an email, but we'd love to get him on. He says he's got some new stuff coming out this summer too, I believe. So I'd love to get him on to talk about this stuff. But in any case, if you're listening and not watching, this is the JXD1 series. And the other item from SMC that was new was the two-port solenoid valve, right? And it's rated for air, water, oil, steam, and vacuum, right? And it says it can reduce CO2 emissions by 71.4%. So you can see some of the, this is the JSX series. And you can see some of the different variants here in this kind of wheel of products. So very cool there as well. From there, we go over to Festo, and they have released their smart proximity switch that commissions itself. I love that. And in any case, this is for their ProLine automation systems. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This something they developed for ProLine automation systems, if I'm reading this correctly. This is the Festo SDBT-MSX. Okay, if you're interested in that, check that out. And from here, we go over to SICK. SICK has a new W10 photoelectric proximity sensor. And this is, it's just supposed to be a great IP69K rated and IO-Link enabled unit that has no dip switches or pots. It is all, there's a little display on it we set it up with. Well, very interesting. I will include a link to this press release and to the product page. So I sent both these over to Julius, and you can see it here. And I like that it's IO-Link and that you kind of get rid of that, quite honestly, having those dip switches and stuff, that it's just difficult to set up. Better to set it up via either a display on the unit. You can see it right here. I wonder if I can get closer. Let's see here. Look at that. That's beautiful. So in any case, you can see the indications are on right there as well. So congratulations to SICK on the new product. And from there, now the fan just kicked in on my PC. I don't know if you guys can hear it. I could probably move it behind the backdrop if it is being too loud. But I'll have to go back and listen. Well, how far? It's 9:31. Okay. So then we go over to Anybus News. And this is an article talking about their latest generation, the next generation of Anybus communicators. You know, they've been around for so long. They're part of HMS Networks now. And these new products look really slick. I did not get a chance to reach out to them. I've tried to reach out to them in the past, but so one of the things that makes it easy to reach out to these guys, if they put like a marketing person's name or somebody's name in there to contact. So in any case, I'd love to find out more, but long story short, they wanted to make it easy for people to configure. They streamlined the software, they streamlined the hardware, and just to save people time, because in this article, they admit that people, they got to learn a lot of different things. So they want to reduce the barrier of entry, right? Which we, of course, appreciate it. So this is our product spotlight here. And as we don't have a sponsor today, I'll just pitch theautomationschool.com. We have some really exciting entry-level courses coming. I've had my son working on some of them. And there's one I've been working on after hours that I'm excited about. These are very, like maybe $15, $9, $10. So just to get people, just to give them a little taste of what our training's like. And really, there's a lot of people around the world that can't afford the $100 course. They're walking around with a $15, $20 phone that has to last them 2 years, right? And so $100 just seems out of the ballpark to them. I mean, over here, it's kind of silly because what are video games? Our kids' video games are now going for, I think, $70. So, but in any case, over there, I mean, it's tough. And we want to make sure we can help everybody. So just wanted to throw that out there. And from there, we go over to, I really enjoyed this article from Global American. This is an IPC manufacturer. We've had them on the show before. And this is a DDR5 versus DDR4. I know we've had articles like this in the past, but, it's hard to retain all this stuff. So in any case, this article does a good job explaining the difference between DDR4 and DDR5. Now, motherboards don't accept both types typically. So you will have to change the motherboard to go to DDR5. But in summary, it's a lot faster. It's also more expensive. So in most applications, you won't need DDR5. I don't have any DDR5 here. Everything runs as fast as I would love to. But, we do new computers like every 5 years. So when I go for my next build, it's going to be DDR5 because that, why not get all the speeds? I just missed the upgrades in the SSDs. So it'd be great to have that fast. That's like almost double the speed, the new SSDs. But in any case, like the M2s, good article from Global American on DDR RAM. And another great article from OnLogic, another IPC manufacturer. They have a great article about Edge AI. And this article really goes through like AI. What's the state of AI today? Where's it going? What are people saying? And then it talks about how they feel it's going to impact industrial applications and manufacturing. And I found that a very enjoyable kind of look back a little bit, back to 2022, and then look forward to how they think it's going to affect us. And I really think in the next year or two is where we're going to see the big impacts. I mean, we've already seen some great products with automatic, adjustments and training and like that sensor, things that just train themselves, right? And new vision cameras that can be set up in minutes where it used to take us over an hour. And so, but I think it's going to accelerate some of the stuff my son Joseph was working on. He had some audio recordings he recorded that he wasn't happy with the tone and inflection. So I ran it through an AI program that he had already trained for some personal things he does. And it came out like sounded like his happy normal self and not his end of the day tired self. So we're really starting to see this go, And I'm really interested in, one of the places I'm really interested in is how all the controls manufacturers are integrating it into their suites. I saw something at Automation Fair on that last year. I also seen some announcements from Siemens working in the same direction as Schneider and others. I hate to stop. Once I start mentioning names, I always feel bad. I might forget somebody, one of our partners who comes on the show and sponsors us. But that's going to be exciting, exciting, especially if you're writing code and it could say kind of like IntelliSense in Word, right? You can say, hey, that grammar's not correct. It would be nice if we could say, hey, you already used that output once. You don't want to use it again, right? This is a common mistake of new PLC programmers. You don't want to use that output twice because it's going to be like a battle. And we even show in our Compact Logics course, you can see because there's not a dedicated, depending on which version you get, but most of the old Compact Logics, there's not a dedicated chip to communications. So the program and the IO scan is still asynchronous, but you get some pretty strange results because the IO scan is actually a task, like it's like a task, and you can see the priority. We talk about that in the course. And so you can see, depending on which one's first and last, you'll get different things, like either the relay's clicking on or off, or it's clicking on or off so fast it's hard to hear. Anyways, really cool stuff if they could work that into your programming so it could start telling you, hey, warning, you know, like where it does with the grammar. So in any case, that's a great article. And then we have Flexiv. Haven't covered them in a while, but they had a new application study where their cobots helped a company slash sanding times by 80%. Now, if you remember on the podcast we had them on, they showed that not only do they have cobots, but they have this special force technology that allows them to provide constant force even over an arc or even around circular edges. So it really can help, and applications like this can be a huge thing. You know, polishing, sanding, all those types of applications, cutting, trimming, you know. So very, very interesting article there. And then we go over the pro stuff. They have an article about wireless and mining. So if you're in a mining application or you have a tough open ear application like a mine would, you may want to check out this article. This also reminds me of Regent that we had on the podcast too, and they do a lot in this area as well. From there, Anybus had a very interesting article about AGVs. Now you think about AGVs, right? It's guided by either a line on the ground or a track on the ground. There's something physically guiding it. And so what they're talking about here is, hey, you know what? A lot of AGVs are going wireless, right? So, and that kind of, to me, it's like, is it an AMR at that point, right? So I guess it doesn't have to be if it's just following a straight path from A to B, right? It's not autonomous. But if you can really get rid of the worry about having paint or lines or, you know, tape or, you know, actual guides on the floor and actually do them wirelessly, you know, that's pretty cool. And they talk about this in context of these products here from them. They have their own Wi-Fi system. They have their own receivers and transmitters and gateways. So very interesting. And this is really falls under an application story because it's an article where they highlight Mercedes-Benz and how they implemented it. And real cool pictures in there as well. From there, we go to our guides. I just renamed this today. We have over 1,800 free articles and videos up at theautomationblog.com. We could be over 1,900. I don't count them every day, but in any case, we have 16 guides. So of those 1,800 free articles and videos that we've produced over the last 13 years, we've created 16 guides out of the ones that we talked about the most. That doesn't mean we don't have anything on Mitsubishi. We do, especially Paul Hunt has written a lot for us in the past on Mitsubishi. I've done some videos on Mitsubishi, but we just didn't have enough content to do a guide on it, but hopefully in the future. And with that, we go over to events. So Unitronics, I'm not going to share this page. This is a generic page, but they have coming up on, where is it? Keep going. You know what? I actually included the link for it. See, they have the old stuff up here. You would think they'd take it off. But in any case, we've already talked about this yesterday, programmable VFDs. So I'll just skip on to Mettler Toledo. They have a couple of interesting ones. Now, these aren't your broad focus ones that everybody will be interested in, but if you do have a cogen system, you may be interested in this coming up on April 23rd. It's a 1 hour. It's both at 9 and 11, 9 a.m., 11 p.m., well, let's not talk about 11 p.m., but 9 a.m. on April 23rd, that is Eastern Time, and it's all about cogen water steam quality management. And then they have another one, again, not for everybody, but those of you who know that this targets you will know about it. This is on April 24th at 9 a.m. Eastern, and this is continuous flow process optimization, right? So if you're in an application where you're doing continuous flow and you want to optimize that process, check this out. They have all kinds of products. They do a lot of lab stuff too, but this really, to me, you know, if you're doing, they're targeting batch processes for this, but in any case, check that out. So from there, we go over to a video, and I'm not going to play the audio, but I thought, I watched it this morning. It was really good, and it talks about, this is from Emerson, and it talks about Asset Monitor. Their AMS Asset Monitor, which we covered, they've had new books and data sheets come out on it, but talks about, you know, monitoring your rotating equipment, which is, you know, oftentimes not the most critical, but if they go down, you need to know about them, get them fixed fairly quickly, right? So I'm not going to play it because I don't think I muted. I think I did mute. But anyways, I thought they did a really good job. There was a little voice desync at the beginning for me, but the gentleman who's narrating this and who you know goes through it, he does a great job. And yeah, I just thought it was excellent, so I wanted to share it with you guys if you needed something like that. From there, we're going to go over to downloads. I only saw one download of interest today. It's the G220 firmware we talked about earlier from Siemens. And then, of course, this document I'm sharing just because I thought it was interesting. This is a recycling guide for ET200 SP modules. So I think every vendor should have guides for people on how to recycle their products, where to send them safely. You know, we don't want electronics in the landfill. We also had from Rockwell, we have a new Logic Designer, right? Studio 5000 Logic Designer SDK getting results guide. So as software development kit for Logic's Designer, so you can actually write code to control how it works, right? And I know other people have openness programs that allow you to do this as well. And it's really cool to be able to create your interface and create your code with an SDK, like doing multiple downloads for multiple machines, right? Let's say you have an OEM, you get 10 machines lined up and you want to automate the downloading to them. This is very cool, being able to use the SDK. There was another manual that came out. It was right after we went on our hiatus, and it was how to import View Machine Edition into PanelView 5000. And I thought that was cool because I thought they were working on a tool to do that as well. But so if you're out there and you got PanelView Pluses, I'm a big fan of the PanelView Plus because I use it since beta. But if you want to go to the newer PanelView 5000, maybe there's some features you want to use. You know, it's a Logic's only HMI, but if that's all you're using, it could make a lot of sense for you. Check out that manual. I do not have a link to it though, because it was over a month ago. But in any case, Rockwell also had an application technique on SIL2 safety functions. This is the high pressure monitoring with low demand. So you can see the products affected here. Control Logics, Compact Logics, Safety, Point I/O modules. We talked about those earlier. And these look like Endress and Hauser. I said the and this time. Valves and monitors and whatnot. So interesting article there. And then over on Schneider's website, there was a couple of interesting new documents. First of all, they were looking at migrating Honeywell's DCS system to Foxbow DCS. So this is the first time I've seen a DCS company going after another DCS company since we've been doing the show, at least that I can remember. But, kudos for them. You know, competition is great, right? And then, of course, this one surprised me, though, because this isn't their machine SCADA. This is just a full-blown brochure for Aviva Unified Operations Center. And I thought it was interesting because I know Schneider does partner with Aviva on a lot of products, but I didn't know they did on this one. And this really seems almost like a full-blown SCADA, but I could be misreading it. You guys let me know if I have. And with that, we end with our science article of the day. And I'd love to know what you guys feel about this. This talks about a satellite that's attempting to collect solar power in space and then beam it to Earth. And when I was younger, a lot younger, I used to think this is a great idea. No, not so much. What if the gyro goes wrong? And like in so many sci-fi movies, the beam like crosses over my house, you know, don't tell me it's going to be perfectly safe. You know, we already know that whenever you see somebody comes out and says it's perfectly safe, it typically turns out in 5 years that it was not safe at all. But in any case, let me know what you guys think. I actually think there will be other clean energy that will come out before this. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but I do think that several researchers are in the cusp of developing cleaner, more efficient energy. Just like we know, their abundant earth batteries are being, there's like dozens of them being in research now that are ready to come out that are going to challenge the lithium. And of course, you know, lithium is not the easiest thing to mine or cleanest or most kind to people and to the environment. So in any case, let me know what you think about that. From there, we go over to thanktheautomationschool.com for filling in the sponsorship number one spot. We really appreciate that it's our own company, so I'm just kind of playing it up because we could use some sponsors so we can keep everybody employed and keep bringing you the news, as well as theautomationblog.com. Don't forget, over 1,800, maybe even 1,900 free articles and videos over there at the show. We're looking at to help keep the Automation Blog online with all the inflation and expenses that keep going and taxes going up and all that. we're looking at doing a membership site. So we do use locals.com, but it doesn't allow us to share files or give away free copies of our eBooks. It's very clunky to try to integrate that with the automation blog. So we are on Locals today, but we're thinking about doing something with the automationblog.com. It's just finding the right vendor. So today you can join our automation.locals.com community for $2 a month. And but please don't do an annual membership, because in the future we can definitely see bringing that community over to the automation blog proper, just so we can give you guys more stuff, just so we can give you more stuff for supporting us. And of course, you can always grab our eBooks. You can see they're on sale there, or our video collections. These are more things I'd like to give to members for free, like give them a free monthly gift just for supporting us. And I want to end really just saying, look, if you guys have any news tips, if I missed something you think I shouldn't have missed, or if you just want to send some feedback, you can use a news tip or talkback links. I believe they're the same both on the automationblog.com and at automate.news. Yeah, news tip and talkback link. They both go to the same places, and we can reload this. I know I just sent the files over to Julius. Yep, and he's putting them in as we speak. See, there's DDR5 versus 4. So really appreciate, and we just got to find some sponsors so we can keep them on board. And actually, I'd like to give them more work. But with that, I'm going to look to the chat. I saw some chats come in. Question, does the code sys support files for industrial robot controller modules? Great question. Furkan, I apologize if I misstated it, but I don't know. I'd love to learn more about code sys. I haven't had him on the show in a while, but I would love to get him back. And then Jonas says, big ups from ConocoPhillips. Hey, ConocoPhillips, everybody knows you guys. You're one of those big companies out there. And just saying hi. Thank you guys for chatting. I want to thank everybody who watches. I know a lot of you, most of you, watch after the fact, especially since we're doing it early in the morning. Most people's mornings are already crunched up and there's no extra space, right? But in any case, I do want to thank everybody who watches. And I want to wish you all an awesome weekend. I just hope you have a great weekend. And I always like to end the show by encouraging you, with all the ups and downs in the news. I've kind of just turned it off, right? But I want to encourage everybody, because it can be hard sometimes, especially around tax time, if you're self-employed like me. It can be hard to stay positive. So I want to encourage you all to stay courageous and stay fearless no matter what. And until next time, my friends, peace.